Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, brace yourself for another instant classic, I predict. An instant classic, Real Science Radio program. But how do we know it'll be an instant classic?
Because it's another one of our list shows.
Oh, yeah.
This one on evolution's big squeeze.
This is going to be fun. Now, as for our list shows, they all started, remember way back, Fred, many years ago, with our list of not so old things.
The original list.
Yes, and every so often we update them. And now we even have a list of list shows over at rsr.org/lists with bulleted written lists and shows with titles like RSR's List of Scientists Doubting Darwin and our list of evidence against whale evolution, and our list of problems with the river carved the canyon.
And our list of carbon 14 everywhere it shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah.
And the list of dinosaur soft tissue discoveries.
One of my favorites.
Oh, absolutely. List of solar system formation problems.
Oh, yeah. And then there's our list of transient lunar phenomena, and our which is big. I mean, if people don't know what TLP is, rsr.org/TLP, transient lunar phenomena.
They'll learn real quick if
you
come to our show.
It's the best on the internet. And that we also have our list of evidence against the Big Bang, our list of six problems with eye evolution, our list of shocked evolutionists.
That's a really fun one.
Yeah, really.
All kinds of quotes of them saying, unbelievable, shocked, jaw-dropping.
Jaw-droppingly shocked. My socks blew off, all that. And it's not that they discovered something new. Every time they're shocked, it's because they've discovered something fundamental that fundamentally contradicts their theory. That's when they say they're shocked.
And what about RSR's list of genomes that just don't fit?
Oh, yeah. And our list of problems with day-age theory and the gap theory.
And then one of our latest lists is the list of evidence for the global flood.
That's right. Well, real fun.
That's a long, very long list.
So, in fact, let me give you some inside baseball, Fred. Dr. Jerry Bergman, who we know and love,
oh, yeah,
the world's most prolific creation author, has an upcoming book. Now, it's just in the development stage on the flood models. That's going to be so much fun. And the beginning of that book will present our Real Science Radio list of evidence for the global flood.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So that people who pick up, maybe somebody who doesn't believe the global flood happened, they pick up the book and it starts with the evidence for the materialist and the atheist. Mm-hmm. And then it goes for the evidence for the Christians who don't believe in a global flood. And then the book really takes off.
And Dr. Bergman is such a good writer, and he writes it where everybody can understand it.
Yeah. So today, it's Real Science Radio's list of discoveries squeezing evolution, also known as evolution's big squeeze. Fred, many discoveries are squeezing beyond recognition the time frame for the theory of evolution. And of course, without a workable time frame, there is no workable theory. So let's look at this list, examples with their alleged and falsified old Earth timeframes.
So the first one is dinosaurs ate rice before the rice evolved.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs ate rice before rice evolved?
Yes.
How in the world would they know that dinosaurs ate rice plants? How could they know? Oh, they look at the coprolite.
Yep.
That's a little gross. This is a family show. I mean, we have a studio audience.
That's a nice way of saying it, though, coprolite. What is that?
It's dinosaur dung.
Yep. Fossilized dung.
Dinosaur droppings. Has to be alliteration. So they have dinosaurs that they see they were eating rice. Now, I don't know if it was fried or steamed.
Yeah.
maybe.
Or if they had egg rolls with it.
Probably not.
When did the egg roll
but
evolve?
But they weren't eating cooked rice. They were eating rice plants. And they say that rice evolved 55 million years ago. Now, this is from a paper in the journal Science, that rice evolved 55 million years ago and dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago. There's a 10 million year problem there. That is quite a problem.
It is quite a problem. So, and, you know, one of the scientists said, it was very unexpected. We will have to rewrite our understanding of its evolution. That's a common theme that we hear. And we'll
rewrite,
talk about that more.
Yeah. Last year, we did a whole series. Every other show, we got to rewrite human evolution. Yeah. Remember that? That was such a fun series. They said, we found two teeth. We have to rewrite human evolution. Then they said, we found these footprints. We got to rewrite human evolution. Then they said, everything they found, the result was they had to rewrite human evolution, human history. It was really enjoyable.
So this next one is 35 million years.
Okay, now we're talking some serious
time. Now we're getting
time.
More, yeah. What? And these are cephalopod fossils, you know, like squids and cuttlefish.
Okay.
So the paper in the journal Geology describes these creatures as having a more complex evolutionary history than previously thought.
And that's always the case, right? In fact, one of our creation science predictions is that no matter how old they find whatever organism, it's going to have all the sophistication of the organism that exists today, like shrimp. They yeah. find shrimp, and they look identical to modern shrimp.
Yeah. Its supposed ancestor looks really a lot like cephalopods, and it was supposed to go extinct by that KT boundary, and they found yeah. these things 35 million years before the KT boundary, and so, you know, that's
right.
that's another squeeze.
Okay, so there's a squeeze, because if they're there 35 million years before they've been expected, they have been firming up this theory for 150 years. So you'd think it should get pretty solid by now.
Yeah. And, you know, the evolution of the octopus and squids, I mean, these creatures are incredible. You remember that TED video, TED TV, of that octopus that mimics its environment, the camouflage that it does in the blink of an
you
eye?
You and I showed that video on a radio program, which made history yeah. in and of itself.
Yeah.
And when this octopus is over the seaweed plant, and you can't see it at all. It's just the plant. And all of a sudden, the octopus gets rid of his camouflage to swim away. And we just both freaked out on live radio. We yeah. freaked out.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
You'd think it was like something from Star Trek or something.
Yeah.
So, Bob, next, let's do the turtle.
Do what, the dance?
No, not the turtle dance. The turtle shell evolution story.
Oh, yeah. It turns out that turtle shells existed 40 million years before turtle shells began evolving.
That's interesting. Now, that's quite the trick.
Yeah, it is. This is from phys.org, Fred. To start their story, they say the oldest known fossil turtles dated back about 215 million years ago with their fully developed shells.
Okay.
So that's long been a mystery. Well, in 2008, the evolutionists celebrated a fossil from China dated at 220 million years ago. So that was what? It's 5 million years earlier. And it had apparently just begun evolving a shell on its back.
Yeah, a partial shell.
It was partial. But hey, for evolutionists, that's big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then in 2013, this is in South Africa. And Fred, I think it's funny how these intermediary stages, they tend to jump around all over the world.
Yeah,
wherever they find
planet.
Something with a similar tooth, okay, there it is. There's the next whale ancestor or whatever. So anyway, they found in South Africa a turtle with a shell dated back 40 million years earlier, allegedly to 260 million years ago. Now, let's clarify. It was what we call a soft-shelled turtle. Makes me hungry a little bit. But they're soft-shelled crabs. You ever have
yeah,
soft-shelled crabs?
I have not.
Oh, they're to
soft-shell
die for.
Soft-shelled crabs.
Yeah. And there are many of those kinds of turtle species still alive today, soft shells. In fact, they include some of the world's largest freshwater turtles.
Yeah, that's right. Like the Indian soft shell, the Chinese, the Florida soft shell turtle, the African, the spiny, the smooth. You name it, they got it in soft shell packaging. If you like turtle soup, you got a wide variety.
Yeah, that's right, Fred. They sure do. So evolutionists, at first, they underestimated the difficulty of evolving a turtle shell. In fact, they still do. But now they realize it's way more difficult than just coming down with some really bad acne, you know, some crusty acne on your back. No, the turtle's ribs are what form its shell. Its carapace, they call it.
Well, Bob, that's a big problem because animals with lungs use their ribs for breathing.
Oh.
You know, the diaphragm expands and contracts with help from the ribs.
Oh, yeah. So if the turtle's ribs are going to become its shell, as God designed it, that means that the turtle has to be designed with a different method for inhaling and exhaling. And to make matters better, you know, they say to make matters worse, to make matters better for creationists, not all turtle shells were created equal. So evolutionists claim, Fred, that there was convergent turtle shell evolution.
Yeah, the magic bullet story.
Yeah, right. Remember the eye with how impossible it is for an eye to evolve because of symbolic logic encoding and decoding? Well, evolutionists, they say the eye evolved dozens of times independently, and they have that magic word. They wave a wand, and they call it convergence.
How do you explain that,
voila,
Bob? Convergence.
So the same magic had to happen with turtle evolution, complicated and convergent.
So turtles had fully developed shells, those soft shells, 40 million years before they began to evolve their shells.
Well, that's the trick. That's cool.
That's amazing. So, Bob, this next one are birds that evolved 50 million years before they were supposed to.
Before?
You know, birds, you know, the birds.
They were already a bird?
They were already a bird.
50 million years. Now, this comes from the journal Science. And, Fred, you know, they say that birds came from the alleged ancestor of all living birds, lived about 65 million years ago. And everything is so confusing because today, dinosaurs are birds. They say dinosaurs are birds.
Yep.
You know what I had for dinner last night? Dinosaur teriyaki. They say that chickens are dinosaurs.
Yeah, they do say that.
But it's the most confusing thing, Fred. When you reject God, the future is nothing but ignorance.
Yeah. So you have birds that are already coexisting with dinosaurs, and yet dinosaurs are supposed to evolve into birds.
Well,
how does that happen?
Let's fix that. Dinosaurs were birds. Come on, get with
the times. That's true. We got to get with that.
But this is a problem because they say the modern birds, the ancestor of all modern birds. I mean, this comes from, let's say, Berkeley. Is Berkeley a creationist organization?
Berkeley? I don't think so.
No? Okay. Well, the paleontology group at Berkeley, they say, now let me read it here. The ancestor of all living birds lived sometime in the late Cretaceous. And in the 65 million years since the extinction of the rest of the dinosaurs, it has diversified into all the major groups of birds alive today. But these fossil birds are amazingly modern, and they're said to have lived because the strata, they don't know that the strata was all laid down at about the same time in the global flood.
Yep.
So they think the strata represents millions of years, a geologic column. But they say it was 105 to 115 million years ago. That's squeezing the theory because now you need birds evolving, modern birds, 50 million years before modern birds had evolved.
Well, you know, CNN said that these birds are similar to the squad, you know, AOC, because it says they're similar to loons.
Fred, that's terrible. You can't say that.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And, you know, AOC, I refuse to give her a third syllable. Anyone, I identify as someone who shortens people's names if they're over 10 syllables. Her name is over 10 syllables. So to shorten them, you take the first and the last syllable. I refer to her as Altez.
Altez?
She's Altez. That's less than AOC. That's one syllable less. I believe in economy.
Butterflies existed 10 million years before they were thought to have evolved.
Now, that's a trick.
Yeah, 10 million years.
How does a butterfly... So they're finding fossils. And since they have this Darwin's Tree of Life and this historical claim of when things evolved. Then they find the theory gets squeezed when they find things millions of years before they were supposed to have evolved. So this was published in the journal Science Advances, but not always.
But, yeah.
Right. Now, that's not the title of the journal, Science Advances, but not always.
Okay. But it's Science Advances.
Yeah. But yeah. That's, you get the idea. But so, Fred, 10 million years, really, any evolutionist worth his salt can explain away 10 million years standing on his head. It's not a big deal. We got to get much bigger numbers.
We do. Because they have this huge number that they have. And so 10 million years to them.
Yeah, they got hundreds of millions of years, billions of years to work with. The universe is 13 points. Oh, wait, it used to be 13. Now they say it's a billion years younger. But Fred, think of it. 10 million years. They say that human beings evolved from some ape-like creature over the last 5 million years.
Yep.
So let's say.
So compared to that.
Compared to that, let's say they found a bronze hammerhead in strata that they say was 5 million years before Lucy, before Australopithecus. I mean, that would throw everything out.
Yeah.
In fact, they find things, not that dramatic, but they find things that stand everything on its head. In fact, this very list. And, so it shows when things are 10 million years out of whack, that's a problem unless they're just making up the numbers and it's all fudged anyway. We just mentioned the butterflies that were there 10 million years before.
Yep.
Well, remember we did the show called Caterpillar Kills Atheism?
Yeah.
And we got a YouTube video on that.
Yeah, the metamorphosis of the butterfly.
Oh,
it's just amazing.
Man, and how evolution is simply cannot explain when an organism has to liquefy itself as part of its life cycle.
Yeah.
So you have this caterpillar. It's perfectly happy as a caterpillar. And then it spins, not a cocoon, but it makes this chrysalis, hangs upside down for some weeks while it liquefies itself. It literally digests itself. And the world's leading expert on metamorphosis, monarch butterflies, he said, yeah, pretty much liquefies itself. Like 95% turns its body into a gel, into a liquid. And then it begins to rebuild into this awesome butterfly. But how does that evolve? If you are the insect and you get this gnawing desire to liquefy yourself, and so somehow you figure out how to do it, how are you going to come out at the other end anyway other than dead?
Where's the selective advantage?
You're just going to be dead. Every major hurdle for evolutionists is an extinction level event.
Yeah, it is.
When
it
you
really
say
is.
To an evolutionist, how does a caterpillar liquefy itself and become a butterfly? If it doesn't get it right on the first like 30 or 40,000 times it liquefies itself, it's over. It's just over, buddy. So when that octopus did that camouflage, Fred, we just went, it was a stunning thing.
Yeah. Okay, Bob, then there's the insect, you know, the feeding tube, its tongue.
That proboscis.
Exactly.
Thing. Yeah.
So it evolved 70 million years before it had previously been believed to have done so.
Wait. Now we are talking some real time here. 70 million years before they thought the feeding tube, the proboscis, evolved. They found fossils of it 70 million years before they thought it evolved.
Yeah.
70 million.
It has them evolving before flowers.
Now, wait a minute. If it's evolved before flowers, what does it need a proboscis for?
Yeah. Well, that's what this scientist in the paper said. That creates this problem, said Dr. Van Elgic. If they had a proboscis, what were they using it for?
That is funny. You know, that's in that same journal, Fred, the journal Science Advances, but not always. So we're going to hear from the editors
of
that
journal.
Yeah, we
will.
They're going to be annoyed at us. So, Fred, you realize we've gone from 10 million year squeeze to 35 million year squeeze to 40 million, the turtles, to 50 million, already a bird, to 70 million years. That's the proboscis, the feeding tube of insects. Now, where do we go?
So we go back 100 million years, and that's fossil pollen.
Come on. This can't be true, Fred. 100 million years, this is geo times. Fred, they have argued about whether or not fossil pollen has been identified for decades. And so the better we get with our electron microscopes and all, and looking at biomaterial, that's coming too, right? Could you imagine the first biomaterial pollen paper that blows everything out of the water? That's coming, of course. But here in GeoTimes, we learn that there is pollen that pushes back plant evolution 100 million years. Fred, if we went from apes to people in 5 million years. So it's like, remember that strata, Fred? What is it? Cenozoic Pleistocene. They found that bronze hammer 5 million years before Lucy. Well, not really. We just made that up.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's 10 million years out of whack. We are going to 100 million years where the story as it's been told, and if you questioned it over the years, you were made to look like a fool if you questioned the validity of their timeline. But these discoveries are tearing apart the timeline. It's evolution's big squeeze.
So, Bob, how about the fact they found 100 million-year-old hair?
Hair?
Yeah. No. You know, like our hair.
Oh, from like a senior citizen? You mean like nose hair?
Yeah. Oh,
ear
man.
Hair?
Yeah. Yeah, where it grows everywhere when you get older.
Okay, this is from a German science journal that I'd rather not have to pronounce, Nature Wissenschaften.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Fred, and they said that the morphology of hair cuticula may have remained unchanged throughout most of mammalian evolution. And that's exactly what we say, right? We just said it 8 minutes ago. Fred, no matter how old the fossil they find, they're going to find out, oh, look, it had echolocation, these bats and these whales. And oh, look, the hair was just like modern hair.
Yeah.
The teeth for grazing, wow, it was just like modern teeth. In fact, more advanced than modern teeth. So what was the hair doing for the last 100 million years? 100 million. When they thought it was getting more modern, like survival of the fittest, the hair, it was just, it was hanging in there better.
It was getting grayer.
Yeah. So, okay. So 100 million year old hair, it looks just like modern hair.
Yep.
Okay. So let's back up and remember where this whole list started, Fred. Evolution's Big Squeeze began on Real Science Radio about a decade ago. We did a show on the sponge.
That's right.
The lowly sponge.
The lowly
sponge. At the bottom of Darwin's tree of life. Not at the very bottom, but way down there. The sponge, when they looked at the DNA, they sequenced the genome of a sponge on Australia's Great Barrier Reef. They found out, this is, you know, according to Darwinian geneticist, that the sponge is 70% human.
70% human. That's a riot. I mean, remember for how long they were saying chimps are 97% human,
yes,
and
95%.
At the Smithsonian, it says 98.5. It still says that
chimps,
there.
Chimps are 98.5% human. Then they went to 95%, which still is hundreds of millions of base pair
differences. Yeah, when we went to the Smithsonian, my wife says, oh, no, don't go in there, because it was the room that said chimps and humans are 98.5% similar. She knew I would cause a ruckus.
Yeah.
And she was right.
Right. Well, you were on assignment. And
I was.
You got to do something for your money, Fred. So when they said that chimps were 98.5% human, even, you know, 95%, it's all a joke because they can't even do the math right, Fred, because the human Y chromosome, one third of it cannot even be lined up. There's no analog on the chimp Y chromosome.
Yeah.
One third of the entire chromosome.
Between 30 and 47% of the Y chromosome is different between chimps and humans. And it's the one chromosome that's the least likely to change. It's the most robust.
Yeah.
It's very conserved.
Right.
And so it's the perfect one to look at to prove that humans and chimps are related.
Right.
And yet it's 30 to 47% different.
Yeah, that,
so different that the scientists said it was horrendous.
They said the discovery, that's on our list of shocked evolutionists.
Yeah.
That's one of the 20 examples we give. The discovery was horrendous. And we asked, how could a scientific discovery be horrendous?
Yeah. We should have a list of terms that aren't scientific that scientists use when they're shocked.
Because
horrendous is not a scientific term.
It's contradicted.
It's like, so the axis of evil.
Yeah, right. That's a good one too. That's on that list.
Yep.
Fred, when they said that humans and chimps were, they said chimps were 98% human. So here at Real Science Radio, well, we try to interview one. It didn't go very well. We found out that they are not 95% human. I mean, all you got to do is look at one.
Yeah. Well, so, or you know what? Have them paint something. But you know, you'll always have dumb liberals will buy that painting. Remember, there's somebody who had his chimp paint something.
Yeah.
It was all random gibberish.
Yeah.
And you'd have these people, oh, what a work of art. Look, and, you know, right. not realizing a chimp well, randomly yeah. did it.
Have you gone to the Denver Museum of Art? There are some entire floors you can't go to because they're perverse. But yeah. The definition of art is, if I can do it, it's not art. Well,
yeah.
that place yeah. is filled with stuff that I could do.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy named Max, and he's on all the cruise ships, his art. Sorry if you're a big Max fan, but my son drew a picture, and it looked just like Max on the plane ride home. It was hilarious.
Yeah, right. Okay, so Fred, anyway, they said that sponges, they looked at the DNA of sponges. They said that they were 90% human. Now, that is truly bizarre. I mean, we humans, we have about 20,000 genes, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Sponges have about 18,000 genes. And the journal Nature quotes Douglas Irwin, a paleobiologist at the Smithsonian. And he says, this kind of complexity in a sponge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think of that. It must mean that the sponge descended from a more advanced ancestor than previously suspected.
No kidding.
And this flies in the face of what we think of as early evolution. So it's, everything is squeezed. In fact, Fred, it's all being squeezed in every direction.
Yeah. Okay, so Bob, if sponges are supposed to be so far down the Darwinian tree of life.
Yeah, way down there.
They're way down
somewhere
there.
Somewhere yeah. around yeah. near the trunk. You
yep.
know.
If they descended from a more advanced ancestor.
Oh, come on.
Then that both squeezes and convolutes that Darwinian tree of life they so love.
It convolutes it, doesn't it? Because, you know, they have said that Darwin's tree is no longer a tree. Now it's a bush. But if the sponge evolved from something more advanced, then forget the bush. I think, Fred, it's a pretzel.
I think
it's Darwin's. I think we're talking about Darwin's pretzel of life.
Hold the salt.
Yeah,
hey, where the dogs come from, Bob?
Dog? What dogs?
You know, pretzel dog.
Good one.
Hey, I
like
got
the
an idea.
Smokies? Yeah.
So it's like, the, you know, metamorphosis. They're trying to work that into evolution. It's like the butterfly. It's like the Darwinian tree of life. It liquefies itself.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll try
yeah.
to get it to come
yeah,
back
the whole
into.
The tree of life is liquefying itself. That's a good. Fred, could you stay focused, please? So the journal Nature says about the sponge DNA, quote, the genome for the sponge includes analogs of genes that code for muscle tissue and neurons, except one small problem here for the evolutionist, sponges don't have a nervous system. They don't have muscles, right? So when
oh,
God
man.
Designed organisms, Fred, you are a software engineer. I programmed at Microsoft, at Microsoft, at McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company. You got a code library. And from that library, you can build very diverse applications from the single library.
Mm-hmm.
And often you include the whole library in your application just because it's convenient.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you're not going to use all the functions. Now, I haven't coded for decades, but am I using the right kind of terminology?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So yep. God had a genetic toolbox, maybe two or three varieties. And even though when he makes a sponge, he's not going to give it nerves and muscles, it doesn't need it for his purpose for a sponge. Those were part of the toolbox. And the toolbox itself is a three-dimensional object.
I was going to say even more than three-dimensional. And this, they could be coding for something else too.
Well, that's completely true because of the brilliance of God's engineering and his design. But as a three-dimensional object, I'm talking about literally the DNA molecule.
Mm-hmm.
The molecule has to do things. You know, it has to fold. It has to do whatever. Sometimes you need some bulk in it at certain places so the chromosome will fold right.
Yeah.
So if God says, hey, you know, I need another 30 million base pair here anyway, so I'm just going to include my genetic toolbox in the sponge, because why not?
Yeah, because he's very creative.
Yes, and it's efficient.
It is.
So the whole sponge thing, it started us on Evolution's Big Squeeze, because here's the University of California, Berkeley, Bob Sanders, describing the sponge study. He said, essentially, all the genomic innovations necessary for modern animal life have their origins much further back in time than anyone anticipated, predating the Cambrian explosion by tens, if not hundreds of millions of years.
Wow.
And that brings us to Evolution's Big Squeeze.
That is so bad for them.
In the latest RSR list. Fred, you see this YouTube video right here?
I do.
This is a dash cam of a trucker.
A trucker.
An over the road, you know, 18-wheeler. Why did it say over the road? What are the under the road truckers? I never got that. Anyway, this dash cam is from a trucker, Josh, from Missouri. And he listens to RSR. And we've got just about a minute of it queued up. And you could see he knows that this car is going to, you know, practically crash, cut him off.
Yep.
And in the background, you hear a little bit of mumbling, two guys mumbling. The two guys mumbling are you and me and Real Science Radio. But let's watch this and let's see what's going on. Fred, what do you think of the quality of the dash cam audio?
It's really good.
The video is beautiful.
It is.
The audio, two guys mumbling at each other. That's you and me, Fred, Real Science Radio. Josh, the driver, is in our studio audience tonight.
That is cool.
And
thanks for sharing
with
this,
the rest
Josh.
Of our studio audience. We've got Drew and Enora. And look at this car. Look at what he's doing. Oh, he's cut.
Hey, I don't blame you for honking at that guy.
Because that other car was parked on the shoulder. Look at that. Now he's slamming on his brakes.
Oh, he slammed on his brakes. That's road rage.
Josh, I can't. That is road rage. I just can't take it. So this,
and he was able to do all that while listening to us.
I think this was the series, Did It Rain Before the Flood?
I think it was.
So, Fred, so this is Evolution's Big Squeeze for Josh, the truck driver. You know, it is an honor when we find out that people who work for a living, unlike you and me, we work for you especially, that they listen to Real Science Radio while they're working. Truckers have told us for years that they listen to the show and, you know, they're able to go back through the archives. So, and by the way, Josh, it's an honor to have you here tonight and the rest of the
studio. Yeah, thanks for sharing that
audience.
Cam video.
We got to put that on our Real Science Radio YouTube
playlist. There you go. Yep.
Playlist. Okay, let's do that. So, Fred, let's just do a couple more and then we'll go to a part two. How about that?
Sounds good to me. So what about the fact that plant genetic sophistication has been pushed back 200 million years?
No, Fred, come on. When you're talking, you're talking 10 million years, the bronze hammer before Lucy. Okay, they can do that standing on their head. But 200 million years and they're talking about the genetic sophistication, like you said, that was supposed to evolve a couple hundred million years later. And now they got to squeeze all that evolution, all the sophistication, like with the sponge, they got to squeeze it all to happen 200 million years earlier. That's at phys.org. And what's considered shocking organic molecules, these are from ginkgos to conifers, and they're showing what they call stasis, which is what the fossil record shows.
Yeah, no change.
Things are not evolving.
Yeah, they look like they look today.
Things are amazing, and the sophistication was there from the beginning in the fossil record. And we link to all these. We link to the papers in the journals. We link to the science news reports. And it's real fun. We do that throughout the RSR.org website on our lists. You get the list, and you want to do a little more research, and you go right to it.
Yep. And then one of our favorite creatures are the jellyfish.
Oh,
and in this case, they found jellyfish fossils that are 200 million years earlier than expected.
Come on.
Were they part of that jellyfish group that, you know, has that family reunion every million years?
Oh, yeah. Remember those guys? That's in a quarry in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
that they have six layers of stone, and they say these six layers were laid down over a period of about 1 million years, you know, because everything happens over a period
at
of
least a million,
about
yeah.
a million years. Yep. But jellyfish, which Charles Darwin rightly said would rarely fossilize mm-hmm. because they don't have any hard parts. And here are these jellyfish, the same species, obviously the same school, fossilized through all six layers of this quarry. And they actually think that like two or three of them got fossilized. Then they went off for about...
who knows, 100,000, 200,000 years.
Okay, say, give it, yeah, a quarter million years. Mm-hmm. And then the school came back for a family reunion.
Yep.
And then a couple more got fossilized. Then they went off. And then 100,000 years, they came back for family reunion. Then mm-hmm. like eight more got fossilized. Then they went off again, and they did this over a period of 1 million years in the same area in Wisconsin. They must live there. Cheeseheads.
Yeah. I just got back from a family reunion in Missouri. I wonder if the prior family reunion of the prior generation met at that same spot.
They must have. Even if you go back to Lucy Australopithecus Africanus, they met at that same spot.
With a hammer.
In Missouri, with the hammer and Josh, the truck driver. Okay, so Fred, that's 200 million years. That's in, by the way, the Journal Plus One, the Public Library mm-hmm. of Science.
So, Bob, this next one is a Characanthus fish, and it allegedly showed up
allegedly.
388 million years ago, and it already had color vision.
With color vision. Now, this stuff is supposed to take time, Fred, to evolve. I mean, if you're going to go from monochromatic to dichromatic to trichromatic color vision, mm-hmm. imagine you're a programmer. I studied a little bit vision systems at Arizona State University, a little bit of artificial intelligence. If you're going to program a vision image processing system and it's all monochromatic, it's all black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to remember the old computer terminals. The font could be amber.
Yeah.
It could be green font. You remember those days?
Oh, yeah. And black and white gray. TVs. You know how our parents all lived black in black and white times. Everything was black and white back then.
And I remember the first time I saw an actual photograph on a computer monitor. It was at a computer conference. Mm-hmm. Fred, I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah. I remember the same.
A photograph yep. on a computer monitor. Mm-hmm. This was a stunning development. The first computer, I don't know if you remember the first computer you used.
I do.
The first computer Actually. I used had no mouse, had no monitor.
Mm-mm. No monitor?
Had no monitor.
I will say mine had a monitor.
Okay, mine had no monitor. It had no keyboard.
Huh.
It had no keyboard. It was...
Oh, wait a minute. Are you talking about...
The I.O., the input-output.
Okay.
What would you think? What is the output if it has no monitor? It was a linotype. It was a line printer.
Okay.
It was a printer.
I started thinking back to like Fortran and
those
card
big
readers.
Dust, and it was card reader input.
Yep.
It was the IBM
so that was
punch
first,
cards.
Yeah. My first one was a punch card reader.
Okay. So no
Fortran.
Keyboard. No keyboard.
There was no keyboard. You're right.
Attached to the computer input was cardboards. They look like playing cards, only mm-hmm. longer.
Yep. With
and
a lot of little
card,
holes in them.
Every card had one hole in it. It was either like an A or a B. Fred Williams, one card would be an F. The next card would be an R. Mm-hmm. Next card an E. Next card D. Four cards, you got Fred.
So it was more sophisticated by the time I got around to it because my cards had more multiple holes
no,
in them.
No, come on.
They did.
They
it was
did?
Really sophisticated.
Yeah, you're ahead of your time. So, Fred, color vision. 388 million years ago, Darwin said that his theory could only handle small gradual steps, right? Steps that could happen by accident, mutation, natural selection. That's the modern synthesis of Darwinism, mm-hmm. neo-Darwinism. And so think about going from monochromatic to trichromatic or dichromatic, right? The rods and the cones.
Yeah.
Think about that step, going from black and white vision to color vision. Is that a simple step?
Hardly.
The mathematical transformations you got to make in the data.
Yeah. Yep.
The way you have to take this visual light frequency ranges and translate them and ship that data over the optic nerve to your visual cortex, and then your brain assembles what it is you're seeing that's changing thousands of times per second.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you go from black and white to color. That's not a simple step. It's a wildly sophisticated step, and you can't simplify going from black and white to color. I mean, okay, go to a little bit of color.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a wildly sophisticated engineering task.
It is.
In and of itself, it falsifies Darwinism.
It does. And you interviewed an eye expert, an evolutionist. Remember that? He wrote a book.
Professor of ophthalmology.
He wrote a book about eye evolution with all kinds of evidence for the evolution of the eye in his book called, it was something like Eye Evolution, right? And there wasn't anything in there.
Evolution's witness. If you go to rsr.org/eye, mm-hmm. You'll see our list of the six.
Is that A-Y-E?
Six problems.
The pirate?
E-Y-E. Okay. rsr.org/EYE. You'll see our list of six problems with eye evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It simply cannot happen.
That was a great interview, by the way.
Thank you very much. A bit of a debate. Okay, so Fred, we're out of time. We got to do a part two on this.
We'll have to do a part two to get through this list.
Evolution's big squeeze.
And we could do a part 3, 4, 5 to 1,000. I mean, there's so many examples of the squeeze happening.
Right, right.
It happens almost seems like every show we do, like on Creation Magazine, all the new stories, there's always a squeeze going on.
Oh, yeah. Right. And that's what happened. We did the story on the sponge, and we thought, well, let's start making a list of discoveries that squeeze the theory of evolution. Mm-hmm. And we haven't even tried. We don't go looking for these. These are the headlines.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And it's like, oops.
They just fall into our lap.
Years before it evolved, there it is.
Yep.
Okay, Fred. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. You're welcome. And please, if you enjoy Real Science Radio, please go to our store, just rsr.org. Click on the store. You could get a subscription to one of our monthly services. You could get our topical videos mailed to you on DVD. We also have really fun Bible studies and the old Bob and Ert Live televised classics. Or you can make a donation one time or monthly, and that helps us stay on the air. We don't have a foundation behind us. We don't have a mega church. It's me, Fred, you, and the Lord. And that's it. I mean, well, and the Lord doesn't send checks, you know, but he uses us to support ministries that get the word out. So if you can help, that would be awesome. This is Bob Enyart for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.